Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. No Santa Claus? Thank God he lives. And he lives forever. That was written in 1897 by a man named Francis P. Church. He wrote this now famous editorial in which he told Little Virginia that indeed there was a Santa Claus, and he wrote this in the local newspaper. Well, the interesting thing about it is there was such a person, and I just thought I'd set the record straight. This is just a little extra this morning that you might be interested in. About A.D. 260, 260 years after the birth of Christ, there was born a certain man named Nicholas, who became well known for his generosity and his love for children. He was raised in the city of Patara on the coast of what is now Turkey. Nicholas traveled to Palestine as a young man. He later became bishop of a nearby town of Myra. When Emperor Diocletian focused on persecuting Christians, Nicholas was tortured and imprisoned for his faith in Christ. According to the tradition, Nicholas was released by Emperor Constantine and later attended the First Council of Nicaea in A.D. 325. So there's various stories about this Nicholas, of his generosity, his kindness, and he continued to spread long after his death. In the Middle Ages, Nicholas became patron saint of charitable fraternities and children, and legends sprouted about his feats of goodwill. After the Reformation, the legend of Saint Nicholas died out everywhere except in Holland, where Dutch Reformed Christians immigrated to the United States and they brought the traditions of this Santa Claus with them. Saint Nicholas still rides in Dutch towns every November dressed in bishop's garb. Later in Germany, St. Nicholas would traditionally arrive on his feast day, December the 6th. A man dressed as St. Nick would go door to door loaded with a giant sack. This is a true story now. He gave presents to the children who had been good during the year, but a lump of coal for the lot of the bad children. The visual image and personality of St. Nicholas changed during the years. His red outfit was derived from the red colors bishops wore, but he was often portrayed as tall and thin. The modern version of St. Nick's is a plump, cheery man originated in a series of Thomas Nast engravings in Harper's Weekly during and after the Civil War. And it says, this is a season during which we remember that God sent his son to be born as a little human baby. The creator of the universe was made subject to all the troubles and difficulties of this life and ultimately died for our sins because God gave us his son. We all have access to the eternal heaven with him. There is no greater gift. While Santa is often seen as a diversion that takes the focus off of Jesus, and rightly so, the real Saint Nicholas was no distraction. He was a man who served Jesus with his whole life. Mr. Church was correct in his letter to Little Virginia, though perhaps not in the way he intended. The original Saint Nicholas, the man who loved children and cared for the poor, that man was real. That Nicholas does live and live forever, for he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the true, real story of this man called Saint Nicholas, and in various languages he was called other names, but of course here they call him Santa Claus. But that's the history of the whole thing. This man actually was a Christian. Now, there were stories, I don't know if these are true or not, that this fellow, the kids used to put their stockings out on the front porch on Christmas Eve, and he would come by and fill those stockings with candy and that sort of thing. I'm sure he wouldn't be the least bit interested in the way he is portrayed today. And unfortunately, today, this Santa Claus character is certainly a diversion from Christ, which is the real meaning of Christmas. But we have to understand that this man, incidentally, so when you go to heaven, you will eventually meet Santa Claus. Because he actually was a Christian man. Quite an interesting bit of information, I would say. But I think, this mythological character that rides in the sleigh and is pulled by the reindeer is a nice story for kids, but it has nothing to do with the original man called Saint Nicholas. And we have to remember that Saint Nicholas was really somebody that followed Jesus Christ. And he's not to take the place of our worshiping Christ at Christmas or any of those things. I think it can be totally overdone. But if you want to tell the story of Santa Claus to your children, tell them the true story, because he really was a man. There is no such mythical character, of course, that goes around on Christmas Eve today. But he was a real man back in those days. He died just like you and I, and he evidently went to heaven. So that's the story of Santa Claus. All right. We've been talking about, I'm going to finish this up today, I think, on our identity in Jesus Christ, because if there was ever a day that we need to know who we are, it's today. Because this whole world is just going crazy, as you know. If you read the newspapers, you find this out. And so we know for sure, just from the activities we see in this world, that we are in the last days. And so in the last days, God's going to separate more and more his people from this lost world, although we are to be a witness and a testimony and a light to those without Christ. And I always like to emphasize, this time of the year you see more people usually than you do any other time, particularly your families. And you have the right to share Christ to your family. But before I shared Christ, I would share Christ, I would pray, and I would claim every unsaved relative and friend and neighbor for Jesus Christ, and then ask God to open the door for you to be a testimony and a witness to those people. And if you go to family Christmas gatherings, it should be a place where you're sharing Christ, praying for the sick, and praying for those that have been under the influence of the enemy. And you need to be praying for those people, just like we do here in church. What we do in church is just a model for you to do wherever you're going on a day-to-day basis. And one of the reasons, so actually what we do here, people actually get healed. People actually are saved here in this place. But these are models of what we are to be doing when we're out in life, whether it's on the job or whatever. Now, I agree, if you're on the job, you should only do these things on your break or after or before work. You're to do your job. And another thing, this particular time of the year, where some people are out of work, I believe if you are a faithful Christian, you have the right to speak to a job to open up for you. And we're seeing that happen with our people in this place. We've seen it happen two or three times lately, where maybe nobody else is getting a job, but we've had some in this church get a job when jobs are hard to find. And also, I believe that if you're doing your part and you are working and doing what you're supposed to be doing, whether it's at home or wherever it is, you have the right to speak to your finances and command them to grow in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that anyone faithful to God will never be begging bread. Are you listening to me? And I believe that. And if we have people who are disabled and can't work and that sort of thing, we are to help them. Are you listening to me? We're to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's what this season is all about. It's what we're all about. It's a year-long thing, but you particularly think of these things this time of the year. And I have personally found out if you give to God, he's going to give you a whole lot more back. And I'm not, we've already had the offering, so I'm not trying to promote an offering. I'm just telling you from my experience, I find out that it's true. Isn't that right, Grace? Yes. And we find out that when the tithe is expected by God, that's our responsibility to God, but when you give over and above the tithe, then you have the right to speak to your finances, to speak to your job, to ask God for favor where you work, and that sort of thing. I found this by experience. And so we are to speak to these things because we are children of the King. You see, we have the rights that other people don't have because we are children of the King. That's who we are. When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, He comes to live within us. And then it's a process of allowing God to work in us in a way that He wants to work. Now, one thing, David brought this up all ago, and I thought this was a good thing. Because we often have the idea, if I haven't got my life totally together, then how can I pray to somebody else, or how can I witness for God? Well, all you have to do is read the scriptures, and you'll find out, though, there was only one that had it all together, and that was Jesus Christ. Paul had his struggles, but he was starting churches. Paul had his problems, but he was witnessing for Jesus. Paul had his problems, but he was writing books of the Bible. And so what we do, we share Jesus and the life of God, and at the same time, we're fighting our own battles because there's always going to be battles. You'll never get to the place as a Christian where you're not battling something in your life. So don't think it unusual. Something strange comes into your life because we are children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. And the enemy is going to try to do his little thing. So there is some truth to the fact the more you do for God, the more different and maybe more difficult problems you have sometimes. But that just means that there's a war going on. We've been talking about this. There's been a war going on ever since Genesis 3:15 and that area of the Bible when God said that the seed of the woman was going to be the Messiah. That's from that point on, Satan has battled the things of God. Saint Nicholas was a good man, and he did a lot of good things. He was a bishop over certain churches, and he did things for kids, but he also got imprisoned and was tortured for Christ. Are you listening to me? Nobody talks about that part of his life because they always get in all this mythology stuff. But the issue is that the more the opposition usually means the more you're pleasing Christ. Are you listening to me? So just because you're doing something for the Lord doesn't mean we aren't going to have battles. It doesn't mean we're not going to have difficulties. But in the midst of it, you claim who you are in Jesus Christ. We're not God. We're under God. But I'll tell you this, I'd rather be under God than anybody else I know. And the issue is that we can start speaking to our life. We can start speaking to our health. We can start speaking to our job. And we can ask God for the ability and the anointing and the grace to do that job better than anybody else. Are you listening to me? Because God is going to give us the ability because we're His kids, you see. And He is going to bless you, and He will bless you, and the difficulties should just make us stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that in my own life. I've gone through a death, and I've gone through things. But I'm going to tell you this, I'm stronger in the Lord than I've ever been in my life. And I've gone through difficulties just like everybody else. And in fact, I've been battling a little cold, and I'm speaking to that thing, and I'm declaring healing, and I'm healed as far as God's concerned. There might be some symptoms left, but they're going to go in the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? Because we're here to do the works of God. We're not here to do our own works. We were never put on this earth to do our own thing. We were put on this earth to be a pleasing to God. That's the number one priority of why we're here. Whether it's in your marriage or in your family or whatever it is, you have that right to claim. And then what we are to do are the basics, which is be in the Word of God. We're starting a new year. It's a good time to start reading through the Bible. We're starting a new year. It's a good time to start reading in the Psalms and the Proverbs. And if you're faithful to God in the small things, He's going to be faithful to you in the big things. You see, that's what the Word of God says. And by faith, then, we can go out into this world and we don't have to worry about what Wall Street's doing or any other street's doing, you see. And in the midst of the mess in Springfield, in the state of Illinois, we can claim we're children of God, and we can pronounce a blessing on the Christians that are down here in Springfield and ask God to clean out that mess and get some people in there that love Him. And that's what we need to do. Same way with the United States government. There's some people in Congress have been there way too long, you see, and they think they can get away with anything. Well, we need to be praying about these things. We need to be praying for the protection of this country. I don't care who the next president is. We should pray for that president, number one, to come to Christ, and then number two, to guide and make this country safe in all of his ability. And the people he puts under him will do the same thing. You see, I don't care what they are now. It's what they can be in Jesus Christ. They can have all the ability in the world. They can have God's ability to protect this country. And God knows we need it. Do I hear an amen? Amen? You see, this is the time of year. We come together because we're the children of God. And God gives gifts here and gifts here and gifts here and gifts here. And He wants everybody to use their gifting. And the whole body comes together. And then we're a blessing to God and blessing to this world. Right. You see, He gives gifts to men and women to be used. Every one of you has a gift. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But the fact is, we need to know who we are in Jesus Christ. Most of us know what we were before, and it wasn't too pleasant in most cases. It's a shame God has to take us to the lowest so He can raise us up to the highest, you see. And that's what He did in my life. Because I'd either been in jail or dead by now if I hadn't got saved. I'll tell you that right now. And so it's Him that raises people up. And you can see people in this church that and people that have started coming this year that God has totally turned them around. And I'll tell you one of them, they're not here today because Bob Plants has been sick. Bob Plants wouldn't have anything to do with church, this church, any church. Yes.
One
I can tell him why he came. He came for a dinner. Somebody somebody invited him to one of the dinners. And that's why, one of the reasons we have them. Because people will come to those things, they don't come. And he sat here in church, what? That's it, there you go. But the issue is, he came, God worked on that man's heart. We prayed for him, but God works on that man's heart. He got saved, and he is so thrilled. He said, I don't want to ever miss church. He didn't want to miss today, but he just got out of the hospital. He was so thrilled the other day, we baptized he and his wife at the same time. What a miracle of God. You don't ever give up on anybody. They might say they don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. That just means you really start praying for them in the name of Jesus Christ. Invite them to a dinner if they won't come to anything. Invite them Christmas Eve if they won't come to anything else. Because God will get a hold of their hearts. It's up to him. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, he wants to come next Sunday. He would have liked to have come today, but I don't think he was up to it. But the point is, we have to understand that we're God's representatives here. It's only a temporary thing, and then we're going to be with the Lord forever. So you only have whatever days you have. So somebody said, you only have so many weekends before you're going to be with Jesus Christ. And so we only have so many Christmases and so many Thanksgivings where we can reach the family, touch the family, bless the family, and whatever. I agree that some people seem to have more of a gift to be concerned about lost people than others. Grace has got a list that long that she prays every day for people, her dentist, and various ones that she's around, and she prays for them to be saved. She doesn't want anyone to die and go to hell in this life. And some people have more of a desire for that than others. I understand that, but we certainly ought to at least have it for our family and our friends and whoever. Now, because the Word of God says another thing we are is the salt of the earth. Look at Matthew 5 and verse 13. Now, any of you cooked know this, but there's a lot of reasons that you salt things. And one of them is, of course, salt gives flavor to things. It gives flavor, it brings out the flavor in things and foods. And it'll melt ice, it'll do a lot of things. And we are to be the salt of the earth that melts the ice of someone's heart. So and pray that Jesus Christ will draw them to him. That's what you need to pray. God, come upon this person, draw them to him. Lord, don't let that person die and go to hell. Lord, if they're going to die and go to hell, they're going to climb over Jesus. And I'm telling you, God doesn't want any soul not be saved. You see, that's why he came. That was the whole purpose of he came. He said, I came to reach the lost. You see. And that's what this Christmas is all about. That's what our life on this earth is all about. The important thing, number one, our relationship to Christ. And then number two, doing what Christ asked us to do in the life that he has given us. And not everybody's in the same situation, the same place, but that's good because we can reach more people that way. Look at Matthew 5 and verse 13. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. Who's he talking to? You and me, he's talking to. We're the salt of the earth, you see. You say, well, I haven't got it all together. I just explained that. But we're working on it, you see. If you can't ignore the problems in your life, if you're working on them, you're eligible to talk about Jesus. That's right. You know what I'm saying? Now, so it says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt's lost its savor, what good is it to be salted? It's therefore good but nothing to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. What good is your life if you're not salt on this earth? What good is your life if your family's dying around you, going to hell? What good is your life if you're not following Jesus Christ. It might as well be trodden underground. You'd be better off dying young if you're not going to follow Jesus. Are you listening to me? People without Christ would be better off dying at birth because they'd go to heaven. Are you listening? You see, because if they aren't going to follow Christ, they're just going to build up a hotter fire for hell. You see, if they're going to live their whole life without Jesus Christ. That's what this thing's all about. And God decided to use you and I. I'm talking about everybody here. He decided to use us, you see. He could have gotten somebody that might have been a little more polished than us, but he didn't choose to do that. He chose to use us, our personality, our identity. You will be able to lead certain people to Christ that no one else can. Yeah, that's what you have to understand. You are salt and light wherever you're at.
That's right.
You see. And so we get into the Word of God every day. We read the Bible through. We get all the information we can. And we allow. And God speaks through that. And He will tell you. You know, God told me one day that, and this is nothing about me other than I was listening. God told me one day, you need to call up a guy named Chuck and tell him about Jesus. And I did. You see. And God did something, didn't he, Chuck? Yes, he did. He did something in his life, you see. Sometimes if God tells you, I just heard it was like a voice. It was probably inside. I don't think it was outside. Like a voice said, okay, now's the time. So I did. And I said, great, wonderful, hallelujah. And through a series of things, Mr. Chuck's back there looking good. In Jesus Christ, hallelujah. With a big smile on his face. All right. Now, so we're salt, you see. And we just have to keep reminding ourselves we're a part of the body of Christ. We're a part of the body of Christ. We can do what the Word of God says we can do. Now, we're members of His body. Well, you also look in Matthew 5:14, just the next verse, and it says, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill could not be hidden. I mean, God wants you right out in the open, what, shining for Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, not everybody's going to respond. Somebody said, you know, 10%. Of every person you meet, 10% of them probably won't like you. That's hard to believe, isn't it? 10% of the people you meet probably aren't going to like you. And you can take it personally and say, well, I guess I'm not going to meet anybody else. Or you can say, well, there's another 90% that thinks I'm pretty good. Are you listening to me? I'm going to witness to the 90%. I'd rather work with 90 than 10, wouldn't you? That's right. And so that's the issue. We are the light of the world. We're like a lighthouse on a hill. The town I grew up in was Mark Twain's hometown, Annabelle, Missouri. And up on the hill there, when you come in, you can't miss it. There's a big lighthouse up there. And usually everybody goes there remembers that lighthouse. Well, it didn't mean anything to me when I was, didn't mean a thing to me when I was rebellious. But I'll tell you, I go there now and I say, hallelujah. I'm a lighthouse. I'm a lighthouse, not because I'm a pastor, but because I'm in the body of Christ. You see? And that's it. We need to, you know, it's a whole different way of looking at things, and now's the time to start. Now, let's look in Ephesians 5:30. And I don't know if I ever get through with this message. It's just, but that's all right. We need it, don't we? Yeah, that's it. Okay, we want to look at Ephesians 5 and verse 30. And that says, For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's pretty close. And well, it goes on and compares it to marriage. For this cause shall a man leave his mother and father, shall be joined unto his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. Christ left heaven to come for his bride, and you and I are it. Amen. You see, that's it. You can't understand that you're the bride of Christ. The church combined is the bride of Christ. You as individuals are part of that. And so you have not begun to live until you begin with Christ. You see, you haven't even really understood what life was all about. And you kind of flounder around going from this thing to that thing. And you haven't got a target you're aiming for. And you get all messed up in life. But that's the time then to turn to Christ. And you see, and the issue is that it says a man shall leave his father and mother. And Jesus left the Father in heaven to come to be married to us. Now that's an amazing thing when you think of it. God came to be married to you. And so you have part of him in you when you receive Jesus. And it just talks about that constantly in the Word of God. Paul constantly says, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you. You can't be the same and have Christ in you. Are you listening to me? Now, it takes some responsibility on our part. If a man leaves his mother and father and comes and marries a woman, obviously she has a part in that marriage. She has a responsibility. She has her part. We have our part. Our part is representing Jesus Christ because he's going to prepare a place for us. And when he's finished, he's coming back for us, his bride. Hallelujah. It might be in the middle of the night, might be at noon, whenever it is. Well, in one part of the world will be at night, another part of the world will be at noon, you see. And that's why it says that in the Word of God. And so you haven't begun to live till you realize what it's like to have Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you don't understand that, ask Christ himself, pray and say, what's that mean, Lord, you and me? I want to know everything that means. Not part of it. I want to know everything that means. I want to know what it is to be a part of the body of Christ. You can't read through the New Testament without reading that. And it's like a marriage. It says so right there. The model of it is a man and a woman getting married. That's the model of Christ and his church getting married. That the model of it on the earth is supposed to be, and that's why the devil is fighting marriage and trying to define it as everything imaginable but a man and a woman, because that is the picture of Christ on this earth of his relationship to his church. So we need to stand against all of these attacks on marriage. We need to stand up and proclaim marriage is a man and a woman, period. You see, anything else is a distortion. Anything else is designed to destroy the plan of God. Now, that's the way it is. And that's what the Word of God says. So we have to believe it. And we've looked at this one before, but look in Ephesians 1:5, and we're going to see another thing here on this subject. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. We've talked about this before, but it's extremely important. Betty, you're talking about having a couple of stepfathers. I don't know if you were adopted by any of them, were you? No. Well, sometimes they adopt you. The stepfather adopts the children. Well, in this case, God adopted us. Amen. You know when the adoption took place? Before the foundation of the world. He knew everything we were going to do, everything we were going to mess up, every time we were going to foul up, every time we got selfish, every time we got angry. He knew all that stuff, and he said, I know they're coming to me. I'm going to adopt them into the family of God. Hallelujah. And that's the plan. That's it. God knew everything and said, I'm doing it. While we were yet enemies, Jesus Christ died for us, you see. Wasn't when we were coming to him. It wasn't. It was back while we were still enemies. Jesus Christ loved us. He said, adopt them, Father. Adopt them, Father. That's what he said. And that's exactly what he's doing today. Now, almost hesitate to start on this. What's that?
I was adopted by Jesus.
Yeah, you absolutely were. So you have been adopted.
Yeah.
So there isn't anybody here that hasn't been adopted if you're a Christian.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't feel, say anything against people who've been adopted, because we are.
That's right.
We're right in there with them. God adopted us in, you see. He had to take us out of darkness and adopt us into the light.
Thank you, Father.
And that's what he did. And so that makes us different. That makes us love people and overlook a lot of little stuff that we wouldn't have overlooked before. Are you listening to me? There's a lot of stuff that goes on and doesn't mean anything. Stick to the main things. Every day I say, Lord, fill me with your love, fill me with your faith, and fill me with your hope. Every single day I pray that. Because I want the love of God to come out of me. I don't want mine. I had that before. Now I have Jesus' love, you see. And so his love will make a difference in somebody else's life. His love will make a difference in your marriage, because you're going to overlook a lot of stuff that you didn't before, you see. It'll make a difference in your marriage. My former wife said, she said, I just wanted you to get saved and take me to church, and you just went crazy with it. I said, well, I didn't have anything to do with it. I said, quit blaming me. I said, blame Jesus. That's all I can tell you. And she said, I mean, you're like a rocket ship that left me in the dust, she said. I said, well, I don't know what to tell you. The Lord just got a hold of me. The deeper you are in hell, the more on fire you're going to be in heaven. Are you listening to me? I had one foot in hell, and so I was ready for some heaven fire. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me, you see? I'd already had of my own. That got me in trouble, you see. And so there isn't anybody that can't be saved.
That's right.
If they're still breathing.
That's right.
Not a single person. You say, that old reprobate will never go any... He's going down, man, when he dies. No, maybe not.
Pray for him.
Pray for him. Pray for him. For God to lift him out of that miry clay. Listen, he saved us. He can save anybody. Isn't that right? That's it. And that's the issue. And that's the issue this year. That's what this season's all about. It's not about Santa Claus, although he was a good man. But he's not running around here now.
That's right.
You see, that was back there 260 years after Christ, amazingly enough. But you see, the devil will take something, even something somebody does that's good, to distract you from Jesus. It's an amazing thing. That guy was a good guy. He did a lot of good stuff. But the devil's taken it and made some mythological character that you hear more about him than you do about Jesus this time of the year. That's not of God, you see. And that's not him. We have to change this thing around. And if you want to tell your kids about Santa Claus, tell them about St. Nicholas 260 years after Christ. Are you listening to me? And why would you give him credit for all the stuff you bought for your kids anyway? I mean, give me a break. We have to be crazy. We get weird. We get caught up in this weird stuff, you see. And, it's a nice little story, and they can see Santa Claus and all that stuff. But tell them the true story, you see. If you see a Santa Claus figure, you take them to visit Santa Claus. I'm not opposed to it. If you do that, then use that as a reason to tell them about the real St. Nicholas that loved Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? How Satan took somebody that loved Jesus and made him a character that takes away from Christ today. It's absolutely amazing how the enemy works. But you see, we're always in a battle. Are you listening? We're always in a battle. at a time of the year when you want everything to be great, that's when there's a battle. You got Santa Claus, you got all this other stuff going on, and you got the Springfield all messed up, and you got all these things going on. We battle them in prayer and continue every single day loving Jesus Christ. That's what we do. And we battle our demons in the name of Jesus. And we kick them out of our life, and we keep on moving. Because you're always going to be dealing with these things, whatever it is. And so that's what we are to do. And we don't have to stay the same. In fact, we shouldn't stay the same. We should be changing every day, every week, every year. We should be changing and coming closer to Jesus, being more excited about the Lord. Be excited about praying for people. And you pray for them. If somebody's in the hospital, great, let's go pray for them. Hallelujah. Are you listening? I talked to this guy one day. I went in to pray for somebody, and there were two people in the room. So I thought, well, here's an opportunity. So I went and talked to the other guy too. And I said, would you like prayer? I'm going to tell you two different instances. There was a guy there, probably didn't know Jesus from a hole in the wall. And I said, would you like prayer? And he said, yes. So I just prayed up a storm for this guy. Told him about Jesus. Didn't get to lead him to Christ, but I told him about Jesus. Then I was in another hospital room one day, and I talked to the other guy in the room. And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I go to church. I go to the Methodist church, and I do this and that. And I said, well, that's great. I said, you're right at the place to accept Jesus Christ. I said, would you like to accept Jesus? He said, no. The religious guy didn't want me to even pray for him. Are you listening? Isn't that good? Something? It's because he's depending on his religion instead of Christ. And that's a sad thing. That's why we're here. We're to guide those religious folks to Jesus. You see? And somebody says, well, they go to church, leave them alone. If they go to church, well, that's a step in the right direction. Yep. Now they're ready to take the next step.
Right.
You see? Somebody tells me all this stuff, I did this and I did that, and I go to church and I gave to the church and all that stuff. And I say, terrific. Now's the time to accept Jesus. Mm-hmm. I said, that's all good, but it's time to accept Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. Absolutely.
When you get to where you want to learn, you come to ours.
Well, amen. Okay. All right. Well, we try. My job's to teach. My job's to teach you so that you'll go out and do this stuff. That's what I'm here for. And that's what I try to do. I try to teach what God wants me to teach to you. And you need to, I know from my own experience, when I found out Christ was in me, woo, look out, look out. Open that door to heaven. I'll be there in about 10 seconds. I mean, that fired me up. You know what I mean? Christ would be in me. My goodness. Wow.
And these sermons go all over the country.
He's what?
These sermons go all over the country.
Oh, yeah, they do. Yeah, I know they do. Man, you can get these messages and send them to somebody. They only cost a buck, I think, and send them to people. If you don't think you want them to get an idea, send these messages to people. I send them people. A bunch of people here send these things all over the country. It's amazing. We got some people down in Alabama that use the CDs from this ministry to minister in the prison ministry. It's amazing. The things are going on. And we just got a website. We'll tell you more about that. But so much for the commercial. Let's stand before the Lord. What a great time of the year. Amen.